This year we were learning, we started from Hilchos Shabbos, and we got roughly to about Reish Ayin Vav, Reish Ayin Zayin, about there. Maybe we're almost up to Reish Ayin Tes. We'll start from Reish Ayin Tes. Simur Reish Ayin Tes discusses certain details of Hilchos Muktzeh, so maybe we'll move back a little bit to discuss what is the basis of all of Muktzeh all about. So there are three types of muktzah. There's the muktzah that we usually used to is muktzah letiltul. You're not allowed to move dovish al muktzah. So that's clearly a din de rabbanan. There never was a machlokes on that. Muktzah letiltul is an isa de rabbanan. What motivated the chachamim to prohibit handling muktzah? We'll have to discuss what's the definition of muktzah. Okay. What motivated the chachamim? Why did they introduce the isa tiltul muktzah? So the Rambam gives an original explanation, and the Ravid writes, I don't know where he got that from. My Gemara says like this. The Rambam writes that there are some retired people who don't do their own laundry. They live in an old age home. They don't cook their own meals. They don't write any letters. They don't plant. They don't harvest. They don't grind up. They don't do any of the lamates of his malachas all week long. Zocha malach the nasis. Other people do all the malachas for them. So the Rambam understands from the Psukim and Anseres Adibrois that Shvisa that Malacha on Shabbos should be in such a fashion that it should be a Shvisa Hanikeres. It should be noticeable, it should be obvious that he's abstaining from Malacha because of the Kedusha Sayyim of Shabbos. But this person is retired. So he never lifts a finger to do it. He never does any Malachas. Never does any Malachas. So the Chachamim had to introduce some new Isser that it should be a Shabbosdik. They felt they had to introduce some new Isurim, that it should be noticeable that the Shabbos is different from the rest of the week. Person never does any more. So they introduced the Isur Tiltul Muktzeh. The Ravid is Masigan, the Rambam. He says, I don't know. In my Gemara, it's Takena Gemara. It's a Gemara in Beitza, and it's a Gemara in Shabbos, both. Beitza is about Yontav, Shabbos is about Shabbos, and Muktzeh applies on both. The rabbi writes in my Gemara, both Shabbos and Beitza, it says that the prohibition of Muktzeh is because of Hoitzoah. There are lamatas of Malachas, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. There was one opinion that Hoitzoah is only also on Shabbos, and on Yom Kippur, Hoitzoah is Mutter. Because the Pasuk says, L'osatziyah masa b'basecha b'yayim ha-Shabbos. B'yayim ha-Shabbos is Osir, Yom Kippur and Yom Tov, Hoitzoah is Mutter. But we don't accept that opinion. We assume Hoitzoah is one of the lamates of his malachas is aser on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, and on Yom Tov as well. On Shabbos, there's only a het of pikuach nefesh, and on Yom Tov, in addition to the het of pikuach nefesh, there's a het of avoichal nefesh, and there's a het of tzorach hayom tzas, okay? But if shalom tzorach klal, a person does hoitzor shalom tzorach taka aser, not allowed to walk in the street on Yom Tov with things in your pocket that you don't really need. You absolutely don't need. If I think I may need a handkerchief, so that's tzorach hayom tzas. Not only is it mutter, but it's tzorach hachal nefesh, tzorach ha'adam, for all tzorachim, it's mutter to do haitzah. But if the person for sure does need it, he's going to have a whole bunch of keys in his pocket that he's not going to use at all. He's about to not going to use it. That's an isur haitzah on Yom Tov. So the chachamim were concerned if we'll permit people to handle anything and everything on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, they may forget and carry it into the street. What's the difference carrying something around the house, moving a chair in the house and moving a chair out into the street? It's the same thing. So they wanted to prohibit, tiltle, handle anything, but that would make life impossible. You wouldn't be able to hold a fork and a knife. You wouldn't be able to move a chair. You wouldn't be able to take off your clothes and put on pajamas. Then when you wake up in the morning, you have to take off the pajamas, put on clothes. That would make life impossible. So the only made gzeira of tiltul muktzah is a shvus of haitzah sheba yotzi. They only introduced the yisa tiltul muktzah on things that are junk anyway, that you don't need it anyway. So the gzeira of the rabbanon is not making life difficult at all. So how do they determine what's considered junk and what's considered the things that people need? It's called the tikkun rabbanon kein deraisa tikkun. So the Gemara says in the first daf from Kol HaKelim, Kalakan begins on an Amud base, so the next Amud is the first Amud Aleph, and Perikol HaKelim in Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara says that there are four categories of things that are Mekabel Tumah, or the Mekelim Ochlim HaMashkim. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Bava Kamma. Odin Mekalim is only Mekabal Tumah from an Av or from Avi Avois, from higher than an Av. It's not Mekabal Tumah from a Rish and a lower. And Oichla Mamashkim can even be Mekabal Tumah from Toldus. So these four categories of things, Odin Mekalim, Oichla Mamashkim, have Chashivas, and that's why they're Mekabal Tumah. If you have junk, junk is not Mekabal Tumah, has no Chashivas whatsoever. So whatever is considered junk and it's not Mekabal Tumah, so the Gemara says that you don't have to handle it anyway. It has no Hishtamshis at all. That's why it's not Mekabal Tumah, has no Chashivas at all. So that's what they made the Gzera, that's the original Gzera of Mukta Machmas Gufa, Mukta Machmas Atzmo, something that's a piece of junk that's not Mekabal Tumah. The Gemara gives examples, Eitzim Avona Biofer. Eitzim Avona Biofer is not Mekabal Tumah. So that's the original din of muktzah. A pen and a pencil and a hammer and a screwdriver is not really muktzah. That's really klisha malachta liyisa. That's a different isa. That's a lower level of an isa. Klisha malachta liyisa is a lower level. Take, for example, if by mistake on Erev Shabbos, they didn't set the table and they left on the table pencils and they left a hammer, a screwdriver, something like that, and they left money on the table. So we pass in la'alocha, litzor gufa, litzor mekomo, you're permitted to handle the screwdriver and the hammer. Let's say I have a jar of pickles and it's so tightly closed I can't open it. So I want to take a hammer to bang a little bit on the side in order to loosen it. Or I have a nut, I have a tough nut that's hard to crack. I can't crack it. So I want to take a hammer and bang on the nut. So that's litzor. So if I left the hammer on the table and it's in the way and I want to take it off in order to put the plates on the table, in order to put a tablecloth on the table, in order to put the plates to eat there, that's called tzarach mekoyma. If I need the hammer in order to loosen the jar of pickles, or I need a screwdriver in order to pop open the bottle of soda, it has a cap on the top, that's litzor gufo. So you're permitted to be metaltal a klisha malachta liyisa litzor gufo litzor mekoyman. Mechama litzel, you're not allowed to. Let's say I'm afraid that someone's going to steal my hammer. I have a hammer or a screwdriver on the table, and there are nochrim roaming around in the room, and I'm afraid someone's going to steal it. So if I'm not moving the klisha malachta liyisa, neither the tzor gufo nor the tzor mekoyman, just mechama litzel, I'm afraid it's going to get ruined in the sun, so I want to move it. So then you're not allowed to. I'm afraid someone's going to steal it. Then you're not allowed to handle it. What if you left money on the table? So money is considered junk. Money is not mekabel tumah. It's not odem kelim. It's not ochlam amashkim. It doesn't have any hishtamshes begufa dover. You pay for something and they give it to you, but that's not hishtamshes and the gufa dover. A hammer, a screwdriver, a pen, a pencil is not muktzah. That's klisha malach d'liyisa. So klisha malach delisa, there's a head to litzor kuf and litzor mekaymai. It's mutter to me metaltal. But mukta mamish, if you left, you have eitz ma'avon of offer. You have junk on the table, garbage on the table. Let's say if someone was eating eggs on the Erev Shabbos, so he cracked open, he has the eggshells on top of the table. So if you have a pet elephant in your apartment and the elephant eats eggshells, I don't know if they do, so then it's a Michael Baim. So then a Michael Baim is not going to, maybe it won't be muktzah. But most people don't have such animals who eat the eggshells. Let's say you have chicken bones on the table. So if the chicken bones, the dogs will eat chicken bones. Even if you don't have a pet dog in the apartment, but in Shulchan Aruch it says, in the neighborhood for sure there's someone. And I live in an apartment building. So there are a few tenants in the building have pet dogs. So since chicken bones are Michael Behemoth for the dogs, so that's not considered the muktzah. We'll have to discuss what if it was Michael Adam in the beginning of Shabbos, it was regular chicken, and then in the middle of Shabbos, I ate up all the chicken on the bones, and it's Michael Adam Shenishtan Elias Michael Behemoth. So maybe then it is going to be muktzah. So that's what the Gemara has on the first daf in Beitzah, and quoting Gemara from Masechet Shabbos, that's a machlokes Rabbi Reb Shimon. Whether that's Noilat She'ena Gomer, it was started off in the beginning of Shabbos, it was Michael Adam, it was not Muktzah, but then in the middle of Shabbos, it's Nishtana. The person ate up all the chicken on the bones. If he left over some chicken on the bones, some significant amount of chicken on the bones, so it's still Michael Adam. it didn't become Maichabema yet. But if he ate up all the chicken on the bone, just left with the bones. So it started off in the beginning of Shabbos as Maichalot. The middle of Shabbos, after I finish eating all the chicken on the bones, it turns to become Maichabema. So Maichalotim Shinishtan Aliyah is Maichabema. That's called Noilad She'en Ogom. Noilad She'en Ogom is a Machleis of Yudhi Reb Shimon, the details of Muktzah. So again, so mukta letiltul, the gzeir de rabbanon, that you're not allowed to move eitzim abon of the offer, junk or garbage, have a bag full of garbage. Most of the stuff that you throw in the garbage is junk. So that's dovesheni v'kabul tumah. So that's mukta mamish. Not allowed to move it at all, even letzorch gufa letzorch mekama. You're not allowed to move it at all. So mukta letiltul, that is, there was never any machlokes. That's for sure. Gzeira de rabbanon, gzeira shema yotzi, like the Ravid says. Then there are another two kinds of mukta. There's mukta la'achila, that's based on a pasuk, and that's a shaila. That's a discussion in Rishonim and Gemara in Rishonim. Is that a din d'oraisa, a din de rabbanon? The pasuk says that the mon would come down. Mon came down every day in the morning, and on Erev Shabbos it came down a double portion. Lechem Mishnah came down. And they had to prepare everything in advance for Shabbos. Esa shetofu, esa shetabash l'vashem, says, ve'yichinu, esa sheyavye, they should prepare everything in advance. So the Gemara says, Surah Shabbos, and Surah, the one didn't fall down, not on Shabbos, not on Yontif. One didn't fall down on Yontif either. So because you have to have hachana, you have to prepare all the food for Surah Shabbos and Surah Yontif. So what if... what if you have something which is Michael Adam, but you didn't prepare it in advance? We'll have to get to learn all the details of Hilchas Mukta. So then it's going to be Mukta Lachil. So that's a machloikis based on the Gemara Mesachim. That's a machloikis Rashi and all the other Rishonim. Rashi holds that the Gemara never discussed this, and that Mukta Lachil, that's a real din d'oraisa. And Rav HaRishonim disagree with Rashi. Ruba de Ruba of the Rishonim, Tosfos, and the Rashba, and most of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They hold that even Mukta Lachila is only Midrabban. There are differences lahalacha, not only the Raisa de Rabban, there are differences as to how you understand the nature of the din of Mukta. And then there's a third kind of Mukta, that Rashi learns that that's what the Gemara debated in Pesachim around Daf Mem Ches, where the Mukta is the Raisa of the Rabbana. Gemara came to the conclusion that Mukta is only the Rabbana. That's Mukta. Mukta, let's say you have logs that are Mukta, and you want to use the logs on the Mizbeach on Shabbos. You have to be Makriv de Karbonis. You're not allowed to make a fire, even Letzorach El Chenefit, but in the Beis HaMikdash, you have no choice. You have to make a fire in order to burn the korbanos. So let's say I'm going to use atzei mukta. I have logs that fell down on Shabbos around Yontif. So I was not making them in advance for the purpose of using them for logs. That's eitz ma'bon of the offer is junk, is mukta. So mukta letiltul, the prohibition against handling logs that fell down, that's only with the rabbanon. But mukta lebiur, you're not eating the mukta. It's going to be consumed by the fire. Well, let's say you have wine that's mukta. Hechitim, so have wine that's mukta. I want to use that wine that's mukta to do nisach hayayin. So nisach hayayin is going to get colored. It's going to get ruined. So is that this? So Rashi learned mukta lachila is a din deraisa. And mukta to be consumed by the fire, the lot should be consumed by the fire, or the wine should go down the pipes. And the Mizbech, down the Shisen, Mukta le Hanoa Shal Kilo, we'll call it. So that was a discussion in the Gemara and Pesachim, whether that's the Raisa Rabbana. Gemara came to the conclusion, no, that's only the Rabbana. But Mukta Lachilo, Rashi holds, that remained, that's their Raisa. And all the other Rishonim disagree. They say, no. The Gemara discussed whether Mukta, both Lachila and Lahanoa Shal Kilo. Mukta is Mutta Bahano. Let's say have gigantic boulders, gigantic stones. So the Gemara says he permitted to sit on the stones. Just a couple of years ago, they made a fancy campus at the Yeshiva University. They have gigantic stones that you can't even move. They're so heavy, you need 10 people to move. I don't know if you can even move it. They're so gigantic. So the Gemara, Masechet Shabbos, says such gigantic stones that they carved out from a mountain somewhere. I don't know. So such gigantic stones are mukta. You're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. You can't even move them. They're so heavy. But you're allowed to sit on them. Mukta is mutta b'hanoa. It's only asa b'hanoa shel kilui. If you're going to use atze mukta on the mizbech and you're going to get burnt, or you're going to use yayin shel mukta to pour down the shisen. So it's not mukta lachila, but it's mukta l'hanoa shel kilui. So that was the machlokes in the Gemara, whether that's the Raisa Rabbanan. Gemara came to the conclusion that that's only the Rabbanan. The first din of mukta, that mukta l'tiltel is asa, so strictly speaking, it's only asa to move the mukta. What about just to touch mukta? Let's say we have candlesticks on the table, you lit the candle, so the candle, we're going to discuss it soon in Reishain Tes. So the candlesticks are mukta. We'll have to explain why they mukta. It's very expensive. It's not a piece of junk. It's a silver candlestick. It's a fortune of money. So why is that mukta? So the Gemara says it's basis ledaber ha'asa. Why is it basis? The Gemara's lashon is hanach, leave alone, hanach, lener, shemen, upsila. Ner is the cup, the shemen is the oil, and the psila is the wick. All three are considered mukta because they're buses to the flame. The shalhevis is mukta. Why is the shalhevis mukta? On Shabbos, on Yom Tov, the shalhevis is not mukta. On Shabbos, the shalhevis is mukta. So the pashta seems to be that on Yom Tov, you're permitted to light a candle from an already existing flame. So the flame is mutta behishtamshus. I'm allowed to use the flame. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to be madlik another nair from an already existing flame. What you're allowed to do is, if you're chilly, you can put your hands on top of the candle to warm up. Or you can read la'ora nair. You can read a book, read a sefer la'ora nair. You can get hanoah from the light, hanoah from the heat, from the warmth. But you can't be mishtamish in the flame itself. Whereas on Yom Tov, you can be mishtamish. So not only is there a din that if something is a piece of junk, Eisim Avon, we offer a piece of junk. It's mukta machmas gufo. It's a dov shem bo hishtamshus. The money is considered mukta machmas gufo. Money is not mukta because you use money to buy things and make a chamem kerizasa. That's not the real reason why it's mukta. It's mukta because it does not have hishtamshus in the gufa dover. If you have a coin, and the coin is miyuchad for chvei, sometimes you have a big coin, use the coin to open up the cap on the bottle of soda. If it's common to use a coin to open up a cap on a bottle of soda, then it's a dovish yesh b'shtamshus. Okay, then the coin would be mukta. But usually the coins are, let's say, paper money. It doesn't have any ishtamshus in the gufador. So that's considered mukta machmas gufo. So not only is something considered mukta on Shabbos, if it's a piece of junk, literally, has no ishtamshus at all, what if the whole ishtamshus that the gufador has is cool? Let's say you have a hammer and a screwdriver. So the hammer and the screwdriver is a right malach deliser. Most of the time you use a hammer to bang in nails. That's a malacha bona. That's some kind of a malacha, another makabah patish. Or you use a screwdriver to unscrew nails at the screw and nail. You use a hammer and a screwdriver most of the time, do a malacha. Once in a while you use it malach delehet. So if you have a kli that's right malach deliser, miut malach deleheter, so that's considered a klisha malach deleiser, and it's an iser tiltel ken. What if you have a kli which is called malach deleiser? The whole hishtamshus that it has is only for malachas. You only use it for purposes of malachas. Let's say you have a lamp, and the lamp gives off light. You're getting hanor from the light, but when you handle the lamp, what is the hishtamshus in handling the lamp? To turn on the light and to turn off the lights. It's either mechabu or maver. So if you have something that's called malach deliser, so then the Rabbeinu Tam, Tosis quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, it's a little unclear in Tosis. And you look in the Urzarua, it's clearer, but that's what it says in Tosis. And the Ramah quotes it, Lalach, we'll have to learn the din of Mamukta. So Ramah quotes it, if you have a klisha called malach deliser, the whole hishtamshus is for an iser, then that's considered mukta machmas gufoin. So the flame on Shabbos, the whole ishtamshus that a flame has is to light another candle from the flame. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. So on Shabbos, the flame is called malach delis, it's mukta. So therefore, hanach l'ner, shem r'psila, leave alone the cup that holds the oil and the wick. The ner, shem, and ner is the cup, the shemen and the wick. Well, the nasa buses, the double us, it's a buses for the flame. And Yom Tov, the flame is not mukta because you do have ishtamshus. There's a Magen Avraham has, we probably discussed the Magen Avraham has, I'm sitting in a room where there are paintings on the wall. So if the photographs of the painting on the wall, hang on the wall till you change the wallpaper. You never take them down to show guests who's in the picture. Everybody looks at it from a distance. So the Magen Avraham writes that that's considered the muktzah. It's an item that you never handle at all. It's a davar shein bo hishtamshus at all. That's a Gemara. This is based on a Gemara in Masech Shabbos. The Gemara says if you have a kaveris shel dvorim, if you have a beehive, so the bees live off of the honey also. So you have to leave some honey for the bees for the whole winter time that they should have what to eat. So the Gemara says the honey is Michael Behema. Strictly speaking, from the four categories of things, then a makabel tuma, other mikela mochel mamashkem, and those are not mukze. So the dinam of mukze is not 100% the same. It's called the tikkun rabban ke'en deraisa tikkun. The dinam of mukze are patterned after the dinam of kabbalas tuma, but it's not 100% the same. Take for example, Adam, the only Adam who is makabel tuma is a Yisrael. A nochri is not makabel tuma, but a nochri is not considered a piece of junk. So nochri is not considered mukze either. Human beings are not considered mukze. Even if it happens that they're not mekabel tumah, let's say kelim, there are certain kelim that are not mekabel tumah. Kli glolim, kli avonim, kli adoma. Agzeres hakosu that they're not mekabel tumah. Probably plastic kelim are also not mekabel tumah. Glass kelim are mekabel tumah midirabbanon. Those who tumah kli zechuchis and plastic the chachamim never had plastic, so the plastic is not even mekabel tumah midirabbanon. So what are you going to say that because it's not mekabel tumah, it's junk? So we don't say like that. We say kle glolim kle avonim kle adama, even kelim that are not mekabel tumah. Kelim, the whole category of kelim, are not considered muktzah. Oichlam amashkim or mekabel tumah only if it's meichel adam. If it's meichel ben, let's say hay for the horses, or something like that, or let's say you have the chicken bones. Someone finished eating all the chicken, and just the bones are left. So the bones are not meichel adam. It's meichel behemah, so it's not mekabel tumah. If it wasn't yet mekabel tumah, now it's bones. So the bones are not mekabel tumah now. But the Gemara says beferish. If the Gemara had a hava meaning, then maybe meichel behemah should be considered muktzah, and you shouldn't be allowed to handle it on Shabbos. The Gemara says no. It's against all the mishnayos. It's not. It's the dinim of muktzah pattern after called the tikkun rabbanan ke'en deraisa tikkun. It's pattern after the dinim deraisa of kabbalas tumah, but it's not 100% identical. So even Meichel Behema, which is not Mekabel Tumah, is not considered Muktzah. So let's say the prohibition of Tiltal Muktzah, this is a little before the Issa. Let's say there's a candlestick on the table. So why is the candlestick Muktzah? The candlestick is a kli. It probably is Mekabel Tumah. It's an expensive kli. Costs a lot of money. The answer is Hanach Laner Shem and Apsila. It's a basis of Dover Hasid. The flame on top is a Dover Shem Bohish Tamshus Klal. So that's why it's considered Muktzah. I started to say, yeah. So the honey inside the bee comb, honey is Meichel Adam. So honey is Roy Lekabel Tumah. So that's not Muktzah. What about the honey that you leave in the beehive, that the bees should eat the honey all winter long? So the Gemara says, no, the honey that you leave for them to eat and you don't plan to handle it at all, the Gemara says it's muktzah. Why is it muktzah? Meichel behemah is not muktzah. Even though meichel behemah is not mekabel tumah, but they didn't make the dinim exactly identical with the dinim of kabbalas tumah. It's ke'en deraisa tikkun, pattern after the dinim deraisa. So meichel behemah is not mekabel tumah. So the honey that you leave for the bees, why is that muktzah? So Rashi says, Agmara sends a davar poshut, that the honey that you leave for the bees is muktzah. Why? So Rashi says, because you don't plan to handle it at all. So that's where the Magen Avraham got this idea from. If you have photographs or paintings hanging on the walls, and your practice is you never take them down. Some people, when they have guests, so they take down the photographs and show it to the guests, and they hang it back up. So that's the hishtamshus. The hishtamshus is that you move it around. But if you have photographs that you never take down, so the Magen Avraham says that that's considered muktzah. But Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in one of the later volumes with somebody where the tshuvas are very brief without explanation. So it's from the later years, the weaker tshuvas. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Somebody asked him about photographs hanging on the wall, whether they're muktzah. He said, why should it be muktzah? He doesn't say why it's muktzah. But that's what the Magen Avraham says, and it's based on the Gemara, that the honey that you leave for the bees, that they should live off of that honey the whole winter long. You don't plan to handle it. If you have hay and you're going to feed the horses the hay, or if you have corn and you're going to feed the cows corn, you used to feed the cows chametz. And then they realize that it's too expensive. So then now they feed the cows maize. They give them corn on the cob, kidneys. Yeah. Chickens. They used to feed chickens. That's why there used to be a minig in Europe that people wouldn't eat the chicken on Pesach. In Germany, I think, and in Hungary, they had a minig that they wouldn't eat chicken on Pesach. Why? Because the Balei HaTesis discuss, you cook the chicken, and they would cook the whole chicken with the belly. So the belly sometimes had the chicken just ate some grain right before they shechted it, and the grain didn't have a chance to get,
digested.
So when you cook the whole chicken with the grain, with the whole belly, with the stomach, with everything in the stomach, so they would, after they cooked the chicken, they would find a piece of grain that was cooked in the burning hot water in the pot. So that made it into chametz. So there was a chashash of chametz bePesach is b'mashehu. So that's a Tosfos talks about that. They cooked the chicken. I think it's a Tosfos Menachos. They cooked the chicken. They found chitam mevushelis in the chicken. So that's why they developed a minig that they don't eat chicken on Pesach because of this chashash. So I remember Rabbi Schwab explained that in recent years they already changed the practice. We have a din on a din de Rabbanon. If the Chachamim made Gzeir Derabbanan because of a specific reason, Dovah Sheb'Minyan means the Chachamim prohibited something for a reason. So even if you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, the Gzeir Derabbanan still applies, unless you'll convene a Bezdin and they'll repeal the Din Derabbanan. And you have to know what are the rules and regulations. When does a later Bezdin have the right to repeal a Gzeir of an earlier Bezdin? If the reason no longer applies, maybe you don't require Godel HaMenem B'Chachamim B'Minyan. Usually the din is ain't bezn yochel levatel de rebezn chaver. A later bezn cannot repeal a rabbinic din that was introduced by an earlier bezn unless the later bezn is greater b'chochma of the minyan. What if the reason doesn't apply? So the rabbi writes on the side of the Rambam, whenever the reason no longer applies, if the original bezn would be here, they would revoke repeal their din the rabban. So later bezn also has a right to repeal. So this din davish b'minyan tzoch minyanach alatiroi, that on a din the rabbanon is binding even if you live in a generation but the reason doesn't apply. Let's say the chacham prohibited taking medications on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Zera Hashem or Yishachik samamarim. It's a zera the rabbanon that the person he's concerned about the chayla, either he's sick or someone else is sick. So he may grind herbs, he may grind up some vegetables in order to prepare the medication. But the question is, what about Bisman is that? The people don't grind the medication. They grind it in the pharmaceutical company. Or the drugstore sometimes grinds it. But I never grind it. So why is there still an Isser against taking medication? So that's the cloud. So the Ramo has a tshuva, and it's really a Rashi. In the first, if Rashi learns, it's a whole sugi in the Gemara. This cloud, Dovash of Minyan, Tzoch Minach Alatira, only applies to a Din de Rabbanan, Dovash of Minyan. But if you have something that's only Asa Mita Minig over here, in Hungary and in Germany, they developed a Minig not to eat chicken on Pesach, because the chickens used to be fed grain, and sometimes the people would shech the chicken before the grain
digested.
Digested. So then the grain will turn into chametz. But now, so Rabbi Schwab explained, but now that all over the world, they no longer feed the chickens grain. They feed the chickens maize. It's much less expensive. They feed them corn on the cob. So corn on the cob, the worst thing can be is going to be kidneys. Kidneys is bottle bereif. Kidneys is not b'mashu. So you don't have the problem. So the din is that minhagim come and go. If the reason for the minig no longer applies, then the whole minig no longer applies. The minig falls apart by itself. Chaim Moshe has such a tshuva, the very last tshuva in the third volume of Achiezer is about that. When you have a minig and the reason for the minig no longer applies, so then the minig falls apart by itself. And the Ramo has such a tshuva, and Rashi has like that, yeah. So getting back over here again. So the So the candlestick, if I lit in the candlestick, so the candlestick with the candle, with the wick, everything is a basis of davar ha'asa. Everything is muktzah's a basis of davar ha'asa. So, but muktzah is also to be metaltal, to move it. What if I'll just touch the candlestick? I won't move it. So candlesticks are not so heavy. If you just touch it lightly, you can move it without any major exertion of effort or energy. So the Rishonim say it's not proper to touch a Dovah Shal Muktzah. Shouldn't even touch Muktzah if it's a light Dovah Shal Muktzah that you can easily be Minaneya. Here there's the Ramah. We spoke about this when it's in Reishai and Zion in Sif Gimel. The Ramah says that the Menorah HaGadolah Shel Beis HaKnesses Baneres Dolkos Alav Muta Liga, you permitted, they had very heavy menorahs, like these gigantic boulders that they have in front of Yeshiva University. It's very heavy. You have to have 10 people to be able to move it a little bit. So since it's so heavy, it's not going to be misdone there just by touching it lightly. So that's mutter to touch. That was the din in the days of the early days of the Reform movement. So originally the Reform rabbis were Orthodox rabbis. A lot of them had smicha from the Chassam Sofer. There were some of them were his talmidim who started the whole Reform movement. And it was a chutzpah that they didn't listen to the Rebbe, the one who gave them the smicha. So first, one of the first things they allowed was a shvuz, the shvuz, but makam mitzvah is mut. That we already discussed. They ask a nochri to do an isa de rabbonin on Shabbos. Amira le nochri ana de rabbonin. That's called the shvuz. So there's a gemara in Eridan that if there's a mila bismana, if today's the eighth day, the baby boy was born last Shabbos, and bris is scheduled for this Shabbos, and the days of the gemara, they used to cook hot water to bathe the baby before and after the bris to prevent the infection. Today it says in Shulchan Aruch, we no longer do that. In the days of the Gemara, that's chok v'layavar. And if you already did the bris and you don't have hot water, in the days of the Gemara, it's considered a suffix sakana to perform the bris. And you're allowed it in if there's no nochri to heat, to cook the water. So the Gemara says that the Jew said the father of the baby is allowed to cook cold water, because the baby is besafik sakana. The Shulchan Aruch says that bisman is no longer considered a safik sakana. Our hygienic conditions are so much better than in the days of the Gemara. We don't have to bathe the baby with warm water, not before the bris, not after the bris. It's not considered a safik sakana at all. So what about in the days of the Gemara? So the Gemara tells a story. Hu yinukid ishtapich hamim, a Gemara in Erevin. There was a baby who was scheduled to have the bris today on Shabbos. So they had a big pot full of burning hot water that was prepared in advance to bathe the baby before and after the bris to prevent infection. And all of the water spilled out. Ishtapech hamim. So the other people, other balabatim had kettles of water, but there was no Erev in the community. And the Gemara said, that's not right. If the community has talmid chachamim, so it's the responsibility of the rabbanim to make an Erev whenever it's Alpidin, whenever it's possible to do it. If you can't, if Alpidin, it's not always Galpin, so you don't. But if whenever it's possible, Alpidin, to make an Erev, then it's all the poskim say, based on the Gemara, it's the responsibility of the Gedolim in the neighborhood to see to it that they make an Erev, to make life easier, because for sure someone's going to forget to carry, and they're going to be in violation of the Yisra Haitzah. So that's what the Gemara tells the story. That the warm water that they had prepared for the bris accidentally spilled that. Another person had warm water, but there was no air to carry it. So they got a nochri to carry. So it's a shvuz, the shvuz, but makam mitzvahs mila. So mila bismana is decha Shabbos. Mila bismana is such a chomadiga din. You're allowed to be machal Shabbos to do the act of bris. Mila itself is a malacha on Shabbos. So that's the din. Mila bismana is decha Shabbos. What about machshirei mila? What about to carry the warm water to bathe the baby? So that's a machlokes hatana. We paskin against Reb Leizer. That's perek Reb Leizer de mila. Reb Leizer ben Hurkin is Reb Leizer Hagadol is of the opinion. Not only the mila bisman is decha Shabbos, even the machshirei mila are also decha Shabbos. So he would allow you to cook up the water on Shabbos and to carry the water in the street, whatever is necessary to carry a knife, to manufacture a knife on Shabbos. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuflam and Amaral, the first daf in Rab Lezer in the Mila. But Mekomlisha Rab Lezer in his city, years after he passed away, they followed, he was Mardasra, and they followed all of his psokim for years and years after he died. They followed the psukim of their Rebbe, and they were not punished. That's the Iker Adin. Every community, every person should follow his Rebbe Muvik, even if the Rebbe passed away. Even though the Rebbe was outvoted during his lifetime. The Beis Shammai was outvoted by the Beis Hillel, but the Talmid of Beis Shammai followed Beis Shammai. They followed Shammai's opinions. Those who learned in Yeshiva's Beis Shammai followed the Shitas of Beis Shammai. For the Hamoy Nam, you have to say, Acharav Lahatas, they should follow the majority opinion. But for those who are Talmidim of the Beis Shammai, that's a sugi at the end of the first Perek in Yevamos, and the Maskana is also Beis Shammai Kedireim. Even though the Beis Shammai were outvoted, the majority of the Talmid HaChachamim belonged to the Beis Hillel, but the Beis Shammai mechuyav to follow their Rebbe Shitas. So the Gemara says that to ask a Nochri to carry in a Chatzu Sheinim or Rebbe's, but the whole Yisrael Haitzo is only with the Rabbanon, like to carry in a Carmelis. That's a Shvuz, the Shvuz B'makam Nila is Mut. It's a Tosis in Gittin, Daf Chesam and Beis, has two opinions, a big Tosis. Is that only Shvuz, the Shvuz B'makam Mila B'zman, because Mila B'zman is so Chomer, it's Dechon Shabbos. Mila B'zman is Dechon Shabbos. Maybe Shvuz, the Shvuz B'makam any other mitzvah, maybe that's not Mutter on Shabbos. So the maskana we pass on the Shulchan Aruch that is Shvuz, the Shvuz is mutam al makam mitzvah, any makam mitzvah. The ask a goy to do an Issa de Rabbanan is mutam be makam any mitzvah. So that's what when the Reform movement first began. So they felt that if they play the organ in the synagogue, this will enhance the davening. So they originally they started off, they had a non-Jew play the organ. To play a musical instrument is only an Issa de Rabbanan. Mashmiya called his awesome at the Rabbanan, Gzer Shem Yisak and Klei Shir. The piano may be a little, or the organ may be a little broken, and the Jew will forget that it's Shabbos, and he'll fix it on Shabbos. And that'll be Misakan Mana. So if you ask a goy to play the organ, it's a Shvuz de Shvuz. If the Jew would play the organ, it would only be the Rabbanim, Mashmiya Kol, Shem Yisakan Klei Shir. Yes, a goy, so it's a Shvuz de Shvuz. And a Makam Mitzvah, because it enhances the davening. That's what they have. They would have consulted the Chassam Sefer, the Rebbe. They would have told you, you shouldn't imitate the way the Goyim are worshiping Avodah Zarah. The Goyim introduced the organ into the church service, so we shouldn't introduce the organ. So that they didn't consult the Chassam Sefer. So they said, this is a din shulchan aruch. The shvuz, the shvuz, b'makam mitzvah is mutan. And then later, a few years later, after the first heter that you're permitted to ask a nochri to play the organ in order to enhance the services in the shul, that shvuz du shvuz makam mitzvah. So then it came up with this Ramah, that the Ramah, they misquoted the Ramah. They said that to play music on Shabbos is only an Issa de Rabbanan, and the Beis Hamikdash, it was mutter to play music on Shabbos, the Gemara says. So, and the Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Miyat. The Novi Yecheskel says in advance that Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. The Jewish people will be sent into the Golden's Bavel, and they will have there in Bavel, they will have a miniature Beis HaMikdash. What is the Mikdash Miyat referring to? So the Gemara in the end of Megillah says, Eile Batim Gan Hesius Batim Midrash Shebe Bavel. So all the shuls all over the world are considered a Mikdash Miyat. So they quoted this Ramah, that the Ramah says that you're permitted to handle Mukta in the shul, because Ein Shvuz B'Migdash, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Shvuz B'Migdash. So Ein Shvuz B'Migdash applies to the Migdash Miyah. But that's not what it says in the Ramah. Ramah says because the Menorah HaGedolah was so heavy, when you touch it, it's not going to move. So even if it's not in the shul, if you have a big boulder in front of the Yeshiva University, you have a big thing that's very hard to move. You need 5 people. You need 15 people probably to move it. It's so heavy. So there's no Issur in touching it, because just by touching it, it's not going to move. The Issur Tilka Mukta is only if you're Menaneya the Mukta. If you're not Menaneya, then there's no Issur Mukta. So to touch a light Dvar Mukta that can easily move by touching it, that the Rishonim prohibited. But if it's such a heavy Dvar Mukta that it's not going to move just by touching it, then it's Mukta to touch it. So that was the famous Ramah, the reform in the second Mahadura. It's not the second generation, it was still the first generation, but it was the second Mahadura on this Psak. First, they said that they're allowed to have a non-Jew play the organ in the synagogue. That's a Shvuz, the Shvuz, Makam Mitzvah. And then they went one step further and they decided, Ein Shvuz B'Migdash. That was Mamisha joke. The first one was also improper. In the Shulchan Aruch, it says, we spoke about it. In the Shulchan Aruch, it says, you're permitted to have a Nochri play music on a Sheva Brochus on Shabbos, because it's a Shvuz, the Shvuz, B'Makam Mitzvah. Sheva Brochus, if the Minhag HaMakom is that they always have music at a Sheva Brochus. A lot of communities have a Shabbat brachas in the middle of the week. They don't have music. So then you shouldn't play music on Shabbos either. But if the minhag hamakom is that every time, whenever there's a Shabbat brachas, they always play music, they feel that that enhances it, then you're permitted to ask a nochri to play music at a Shabbat brachas on Shabbos if they know Jewish music. To play music on Shabbos, that says that that's a shvuz de shvuz for makom mitzvah. So that itself, that the Mechaber writes that, and Mogen Avraham writes that. So that's a question whether we really, even whether we really paskin like that. That's also questionable. It could be that we already discussed it. It could be the Egle Tal is a sefer on the Lamates Moloch is written by the Soch Shavu Rebbe, the author of the Avnei Nezer. He did work on all of the Lamates Moloch. So the first 15 Molochas or so, he completed all he had to say, and that's the sefer Egle Tal. And the rest of the Molochas, he began writing a lot, but he didn't finish everything. So the haschol of all of the essays, that appears in the Avnei Nezer. And the first 15 Molochas Hasso, where he completed all he had to say, that appears in the separate sefer, in the Egle Tal. So in the Egle Tal, he raises the following question. To apply medication on Shabbos is only an Issa de Rabbonim. Refu is also on Shabbos. Zeri Shemi Yishachik Samimonim. So what if I'll ask a nochri to put the refu on my body? Is that considered a shuz de shuz b'makam tzorach gadol? Shuz de shuz muta b'makam mitzvah b'makam hefse meruba b'makam tzorach gadol. So the Egle Tal thinks that that's not a shuz de shuz. He says that the gzera malachas can only be violated. There's a malacha deraisa, there's a malacha derabbanan, and there's a gzera. Please take for example, let's say a person writes in ink or in pencil. That's a malacha deraisa of kosher. Person writes with chalk on a blackboard, it's understood that it's going to be erased, even though it's not going to disappear by itself. That's called ksav she'eino shel kayama. Because it's the nature of the chalk on the blackboard is that it's always erased, and tomorrow they'll rewrite something else over there. So if you write ksav she'eino shel kayama, that's only an isa derabbanan. That's not an isa deraisa. So the Pashto says that that's a malacha midrabbanan. You're doing ksiva, but since it's a lack of malachas mashevis, because it's not shel kayama, it's only nisa derabbanan. So when you talk about a malacha deraisa, a malacha derabbanan, you can only violate a malacha if you're doing some kumbi asay. You can't be in violation of a malacha b'shev al taseh. But the gzera derabbanan, sometimes they ask the gzera derabbanan. Let's say you're not allowed to climb on a tree. Gzera shem yachdur zmar. You may break off a branch. You're going to say, whoever leans on a tree, whoever climbs on a tree, is in violation of kotzer. But he didn't do kotzer. Let's say, you're not allowed to play music. Zeri shami isak and play shir. So you're going to say, whoever plays a piano is in violation of misak and mona. Why is it misak and mona? It's a zeri shami isak and play shir. But he did nothing broke. He didn't fix it. So that's a zeri. So there's a fundamental difference between a malacha midrabbanan and a gzera derabbanan. Malacha derabbanan is governed with the same rules and regulations as a malacha deraisa. You're only a violation of a malacha if you do a kumbi aseh. There's no malacha b'shevi al taseh. There are rayas from the Gemara like that. But gzera derabbanan all depends. Some gzeras, they formulate in such a way that you do violate it b'shevi al taseh. For example, I leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos without a blech. So when I put the food on the fire, it didn't violate anything. Even though I plan to leave it there, I don't plan to put a blech. But when you put food on the fire half an hour before Shabbos, you didn't violate anything. You can always take it off before Shabbos begins. When Shabbos enters and your food is on the fire and you don't have a blech, then you're in violation of Shehiyah. So you violate Shehiyah, b'shevi al taseh. Shehiyah is a gzeirah midirabon, gzeirah shem yichata b'gecholim. Gzeirah shem yichata, if hamachata b'gecholim, is over mishum mechab omare, chayv tuchatois. That's a price that increases. Achayt b'gecholim, chayv shtayim, one mishum mechab and one mishum mare. Some of the coals that are black will become orange. That's called havora. Some of the coals that are orange will become black. Even though the black coals are also burning hot, but that's not esh. When the coal is fiery, when the coal is red, or the coal is orange, then it's called esh. When the coal is black, it's hot, but it's not called an esh. So the Gemara says, "Achot b'gecholim b'shogeg is chayv shtei chatos, one mishum mechabe and one mishum mavir." So when Shabbos enters and my food is on the fire without the blech, I'm in violation of Shehiyah B'Shevi Al Tasen. So that's what Rabbi Kevega has a tshuva. We spoke about it before Pesach, about the Mechiras Chometz. If the rabbi sells the Chometz on Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. So the rabbi sells the Chometz on Friday. So if he sells the Chometz and he says, I want the Kiyan to take effect on Shabbos morning at 10:30 when the people are going to stop eating the Chometz, so at that time it'll be Mevura what he's selling. If he says, whatever will be left over on Shabbos morning, I'm selling as of Friday morning. So that's an issue of Yesh Breir Ein Breir, we Paskan Ein Breir. But if he says, I'm going to sell all the Chometz, I want the Goy to be Koyin of the Chometz, the Goy agrees to be Koyin of the Chometz on Shabbos morning at 10:30, then there's no issue of Breir. At the time that the Kinyan is being Chal, it's Mavurah, what's included in the sale. So Rabbi Kevega raises the question, that's a big debate in Achranim. Most Achranim disagree with Rabbi Kevega. Rabbi Kevega thinks that since Mekach or Memkar is also on Shabbos, it's not that it's Sivim in the Rabban. It's not a Malach in the Rabban, it's Xerim in the Rabban, so Xeris can sometimes be violated B'Shevi Al Tasas. Even on Shabbos at 10:30, I'm not doing anything with respect to the Kinyan. All the Kinyanim are made on Erev Shabbos. Still, since the Kinyan is being Chal on Shabbos, Rabbi Kevega says you can violate the Gzera de Rabbanon of Mekka Chamemka B'Shevi Al Tasas. And most of the other Achranim have riots against Rabbi Kevega. The Tzemach David is a sefer written He'oris on Tshuvas Rabbi Kevega by a descendant of Rabbi Kevega, Rabbi David Rappaport, he was a descendant of Rabbi Kevega. So he has a whole piece on that Tshuva of Rabbi Kevega. He brings rice from the Yerushalmi, that is mutter, to do a kinyan on Erev Shabbos, that would be chal on Shabbos. So most of the Boskim held that it's mutter, that there's no Issa. So that's what the Egel Tal says. If Aleska Nochri to apply medication is also Gzeira Shema Yishachik Samamanim. It's a Gzeira, it's not even a Malach Med Rabba. You don't say when a person swallows a pill that is violation of Tochein. He didn't do any Tchina. It's a Gzeira Shema Yishachik Samamanim. May lead to Tchina. But if he didn't do any Tchina, it's still also because it's a Gzeira Shema. So Gzeiris, some of them can be violated B'Shevi Al Tasas. That's what Deg Leital raises a possibility. Maybe if I have the Nochri apply the medication on my body, he puts iodine, whatever, he puts something on my body, maybe that's my direct violation of Refuah B'Shabbos. If Refuah B'Shabbos would have been a Malachim in Atar, Malachim in the Rabbanon, and I asked the Nochri to apply the medication, so I can't be in violation of a malacha if I'm acting b'shevi al tas. The nochri is doing the maisa. I'm not applying the medication. But since applying medication is gzeira mederabban, gzeira shem yishachik samamanim, so then it's possible to violate gzeira b'shevi al tas. So it could well be that it's my direct violation. It could be that that's not. That's what the Egel Tal says. It could be that's not a shvus de shvus, but makom tzara gadol that it should be mutim. It could be that that's my direct violation of the shul. So it could well be that playing music also, you're not allowed to play music on Shabbos, Gzeira, Shem Yisak, and Klei Shir. So it could be, if I'm standing outside of a Carnegie Hall, and they're playing music on Friday night, and I'm listening. So you can't say, I'm in violation of the Gzeira of Mashmiya Kol. He's not playing the music for me. But if I'm making a Sheva Brachas for my children, and I have the Nochrim play the music, they're playing the music for me. If I'm going to hear that the musical instrument is off key, the piano or the organ is off key, I may walk over. It's my direct violation. I may walk over and fix the musical instrument. So that it's a direct violation. Could be that the fact that I asked the guy to play the music doesn't lower it to the level of a shvuz de shvuz b'makamitz. The Mechaber says that it does, and the Mogen Avraham quotes that it does. That to ask the guy to play music is mutter by the Sheva Brachas, if they always have music by Sheva Brachas, and it's mutter in the shul also, if it enhances the davening. Yeah, but it could be that there are others who disagree. They hold no, that if the music is played on my behalf, then it's my direct violation. You don't say that it's the shvuz b'makam mitzvah because the Nochri is playing the music. He's playing it for me. And it's a gzeira, it's not a malacha. So gzeiras can be violated b'shevi al tas. So that's Nachamal. So that's the background of this Siman Reish Ayin Tes. It's discussing the topic of Muktzah. Okay? So Muktzah, if you have a Klisha Malachta Le'Isser, again, if you have a screwdriver, you have a hammer, you have a pen or a pencil, and it's on the table and it doesn't belong, and Sorach L'Mekomo, you want to take it off because you want to put food on the table, you want to put a tablecloth, you want to put plates with food, Sorach L'Mekomo, you're allowed to move a Klisha Malachta Le'Isser. But if you have money on the table, then you can't take it off with your fingers. You can move it with your elbow. Most assume, the Chazon Ish has a different sheet over here, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, and the Pashtus is not like the Chazon Ish over here. Most assume that Tilta Muktzah Begufa is Mutter. The whole Gzeira of Tilta Muktzah, why do they prohibit Tilta Muktzah? Gzeira Shema Yotzi, you may carry. So normally people carry suitcases. They carry things in their hand, they carry things in their pocket. You don't carry things by pushing it with your arm or kicking it with your foot. Let's say there's a $100 bill on the floor and I'm afraid someone's going to visit in my apartment. I'm afraid someone is going to steal the $100 bill. So if I kick it with my foot, so we assume that that's mutter, tilta muktzah begufo. If you're metalta muktzah, not with your hands, metalta muktzah begufo, so we assume until the Chazon Ish came along. So he had a different sheet. We assume tilta muktzah begufo is mutter. So again, so klisha malachta le'iser is muta l'tzorch gufa l'tzorch mekayim. But if something is mukta mamish, then even l'tzorch gufa l'tzorch mekayim, you're not allowed to move it. If it's really in the way, so you have to do tilta mukta begufa. So there is a din. The Gemara tells a story in Masechta Shabbos that Dovan HaMelech passed away on Shabbos, and his body was mutal b'chama. His body was muta b'chama, and if you don't put a dead body in a freezer, so then it's going to start to decompose and it's going to start to smell. There's a bit of zayin ames, but a dead body is not odem mekela melchem mashkim. Dead body is a piece of junk, so dead body is muktzah machmas gufa. So you're not allowed to handle a mace on Shabbos. Someone dies on Shabbos, you're not allowed to put him on the floor. Chevra gadish, you're not allowed to handle a mace on Shabbos. So Shlomo HaMelech sent the shadow to the Chachamim. His father died, Dovan HaMelech died, and his body is muta b'chama. How can he move it out of the chama? So they responded, they told him, put a kikare tinek. But if you put a little baby, a tinek, a live baby, or you put a kikare, some food, a loaf of bread on top of the mace, so then, since you're permitted to move the kikare tinek, because it's not mukta, and it's one big tiltle, we're carrying the mace, I'm holding the two legs and you're holding the shoulders. We're carrying the mace from one place to the other. If you put a kikar etinik on the mace, so then it's mutter. So the Gemara says this kula, that if you put a kikar etinik, you're permitted to move it. It's only a special kula because of kavod abrius, because of kavod mace, only by a mace. They weren't made up by anything else. So despite the fact that the Gemara says, loyama kikar etinik elul mace bilvad, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch like the Tshuvas HaRosh, that if you have Kalisha Malachta Le'Isser, that you are allowed to move. Let's say I left a hammer on the floor, and it's not Tzorch L'Gufa, it's not Tzorch L'Mekomo. It's just, it doesn't look nice. I'm having guests are coming over in the middle of the day on Shabbos, and I'm embarrassed to have the hammer on the floor. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you put a Dov She'ena Muktzeh, you put a kicker, you put some food on top of the hammer, so then, just like by the mace, you're allowed to move it with the kikar etinik. So by klisha malach tali iser, where the iser is not as chomer as tilta muktzah. If klisha malach tali iser, a pen, a pencil, a hammer, a screwdriver, is not an iser tilta muktzah, it's only tilta kalim. So just like it has a kula, the tzorch gufel, tzorch mekam is mutta, so kikar etinik is also mutta. Yeah, it's a... How do they get that? Because let's say you served soup on Leil Shabbos, and then you want to put the remaining soup back into the refrigerator, so it doesn't spoil, doesn't get sour. So how are you allowed to move the pot, the soup pot? There's a kli shemalach taliyisa. The soup pot, there's a kli that's miyuchen for cooking soup. So the Balamor raises the question. The Gemara says if this. Let's say you empty it out, the whole soup pot, there's no soup left. Then the soup pot is a klisha malach taliyisa, so you're not allowed to handle it. You're not allowed to move it somewhere else. It's a klisha malach taliyisa. But if it still has soup in it, then it's muta. Why? So the Balamor says, because the soup pot is also a container. Let's say you have plastic Tupperware. So plastic Tupperware, that's not a chalisha malach delisa. You don't cook the food in Tupperware. It's a container. So even the soup pot that you cook the food in is also a container to hold. So kolzman that it has some soup left in it, so it's functioning as a container. And a container is a klisha malach delahetah. That's what the Balamor answers. But in Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote the Balamor's answer. They quote the Tshuvas HaRosh. Tshuvas HaRosh says it's muta because of kikar atinik. Aydi Gemara says leomer kikar atinik ela lemeis bilvad. It's only a heter mishum kavar ameis mishum kavar abrias. So the Rosh explains that's by muktze gomor, by real muktze. There shouldn't be a heter kikar atinik. But where did the whole idea come from? The kikar atinik. The din exists. They didn't get it from outer space, from Yesh Me'ayin. They came up with a heter kikar atinik by meis. Now the answer, there was always a heter kikar atinik by klisha melach deliyisa. There's always such a heter. But that kula never applied to muktze mamish. So mishum kvoru shal meis. Then they bent. They were make a little bit. So they borrowed the kula that really only applies to klisha melach deliyisa, and they applied it even to the meis. But it's inconceivable, the Rosh is inconceivable that they made up a whole kula of kikar atinik only for mace. It must be that the heter does exist somewhere. It exists by klisha malach deliyisa, and here they applied it in this case. Absalvechik used to say that kikar atinik is very similar to, there's a Tosfos in the beginning of Beitza where Tosfos showed proofs from the Gemara, and it's quoted Laloch and Shulchan Aruch. Let's say we left the hammer on the table, on the dining room table, on Erev Shabbos. We forgot to set the table. So on Shabbos, the hammer and the pen and the pencil and the screwdriver, everything is in the way. So Tzorchim comes, I'm allowed to take everything off of the table. Do I have to put it on the floor? Do I have to drop it right away? So Tosfos proves in the morning, you don't have to drop it right away. Let's say my apartment, I have a lot of rooms. From the time I have to walk from the dining room, I want to take off the pen and the pencil and the hammer and the screwdriver from the table. I want to put it in the shed where I have all the other tools. So Tosfos shows from the Gemara, not only is it muta to take it off the tzorch bekomo, to take it off on the table, you don't have to drop it right away. Once you carried it beheter, you can already carry it five rooms down into the house and put it where it belongs, with all the other tools in the shed. But mukta mamish is not so. Mukta mamish, sometimes you have a heter to be metaltal mukta, so you have to drop the mukta. You have to drop the mukta the first opportunity. You don't say that since the Ramah says, once you're carrying the mukta, you can carry, even if you started to carry the yisim. The Ramah holds, even if it's by mistake, I started to carry mukta b'yisa, then I realized I'm handling mukta. Ramah says, once I'm handling it, it doesn't make it a bigger aver if you carry it further down into the apartment. So may as well put away the money where the money belongs. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that many achrayim disagree with this Ramah, the Bir Agrona, the Derech HaChaim Siddur, many others, and we don't accept this Ramah. We hold that that din, one tiltul oruch, once we disagree for two reasons. First of all, it's only muta if you had a heter on the tchilas atiltol, then the heter extends to the rest of the tiltol. Secondly, it only applies to klisha malach deliyisa. It doesn't apply to muktza mamish. Rav Soloveitchik thought that these two dinim were similar. If you put a kikar atinik, so you're doing together, you're doing a tiltol on two things, on the klisha malach deliyisa and on the kikar atinik. So since the kikar atinik is not muk, is not, it has no isa tiltal on it, and it's one big tiltal on the hammer with the kikar atinik. It's one tiltal kafel. He formulated a lashon. It's a tiltal kafel, and the tiltal has a heter for the kikar atinik. So he even allowed to carry with the klisha malach d'aliyus. So he said it's similar to the other din that once you had a heter tiltal to take the screwdriver and the hammer off of the table, it's one long tiltal, so I may as well take it five rooms down in the apartment and put it in the shed where it belongs. I don't have to drop it on the floor right away. Mashenik came by Muktza, we wouldn't be mekel on either of these. You wouldn't be mekel by a tiltal kofel. Kikar atinik wouldn't be mutter by any other Muktza. Liomru ele b'meis belvad. And the other heter also, if you're having one long tiltal, So there's only a heter to move the mukta. Let's say it's a gerev shalrei or something. So you have to take it out of the, you have to move the muktzah that it shouldn't be annoying. But once you moved it, then you're not allowed to move it to where it belongs to. You have to drop it at the earliest available opportunity. Yeah, so what's the din? Let's say the candlestick where I lit candles. So some people have like this, I remember, you have a tray, you have a silver tray, and you have the leichter on top of the tray. Then you put, so even after the candles go out, and it's no longer a basis l'davar ha'aser, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that's a Gemara. Moses shemesh ebener v'shebekari, the leftover oil, you lit candles on Erev Shabbos, and after the flame, the whole status of muktzah on the ner shemen epsila, the oil with the wick, with the container, everything is muktzah because of the din of buses. What's a buses to the flame? But the flame doesn't last forever. The flame goes out after 5-6 hours, the flame goes out. So it's no longer a buses. So still you're not allowed to move it because that's the din. Since ben hashmashes, it was muktzah, migadis katzor the ben hashmashes, it's katzoy l'kul yom. Whatever was muktzah ben hashmashes remains muktzah for the rest of the day. Okay? So let's say it's going to be muktzah. So, but there's another din. If you have a, let's say I'll put a salt shaker. I remember there used to be a very religious person in my neighborhood in the Bronx. So his wife would put a plastic little salt shaker. She probably buys it for 25 cents. She put a plastic salt shaker on a silver tray that they had the leichter on, and they called that klisha malachta, a bus is davar asa or a davar muta. A bus is davar asa depends if it's only a davar asa. If you have a davar asa and a davar muta, then it doesn't become mukta, then the bus doesn't become mukta. But the din is it depends which is machashuv. So if bein hashmashes are there of Shabbos, you have on the same tray, you have a leichter that's buses because you lit the candles, and you have another thing on the tray, which is equally important or more important than the leichter. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, the leichter was very important because without the candles, the whole room would be dark. Today, we usually have the big chandelier on top is burning, so the candles only not that important. Not as important as it used to be Bismana Gemara. Because even after the candles go out, the room is still flooded with light. So the candles have less significance today. But if you have a plastic little salt shaker that costs 25 cents, so you can't say that the silver tray on the bottom of the lech, the bus is davar asa, davar muta. That idea, bus davar asa, davar muta, depends which is more chashuv. So the candlestick is certainly more chashuv than the little plastic salt shaker. So there is a din of bus is davar asa, the davar muta, but it has to be the davar muta has to be equally choshev and more choshev than the davar asa. Would there be a heter over here, a kikar etinak? Why should there be a heter kikar etinak? This is mukta mamish. This is not klisha malachta. He said, this is if you have a candlestick that you didn't light in this Shabbos. So that's a machlokes rishonim. Is a candlestick considered a klisha malachta? A hammer and a screwdriver and a pen and a pencil is a kli shemalachta liyisa. You use the kli to do a malacha of ksiva. Use the kli to do a malacha to bang nails or to take out nails. That's a baina. You use it baina sosa. You use the instrument to do malachas. Is this considered a candlestick? Is considered a kli shemalachta liyisa? A candlestick that you didn't light candles in on it. If you lit candles, then it's a buses. If you didn't light candles, you have candlesticks on the side table that you didn't light in this Shabbos. So that's a machlokes Tosfos and other Rishonim. Tosfos hold that's also called a kli shemalachta liyisa, a kli that's meyuchad to function as a buses. And other Rishonim say, ma pitom, why is that a kli shemalachta liyisa? You don't do a malacha with the candlestick, you do a malacha with the match. You strike a match and you do havara. But the candlestick just, it's functions as a buses. That's not called kalisham lachdis. So we usually assume lachumra that the candlestick is considered a kalisham lachdali. So even if you didn't light in it, but if you did light in it, then it's not just a kalisham lachdali. So then we hold that it's a basis. A basis is mukta mamish. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes over here in Reshit Tes, there was some who are of the opinion that it's muta to move the candlestick after the flame went out. So it's no longer a buses, it's only mukta because migdis katzoy ben hashmashes, So there's an opinion that the tzach guf or the tzach makom, you're allowed to move it. So the Mechaber writes in Siv Beis, well, on Nira Dvarav, he thinks that it's wrong. It's Mukta Mamish. Migud is Katsoy. It's Mukta Mamish. It's not a Klisha Malach to Lisa. Then he quotes,
Rebbe, what else can you use it for? Isn't the Lichter not like the hammer you can use to open nut, break nuts open? I don't know. What else can you use a candlestick holder for? I can't see the other use you could use out of it.
I think we assume that it's Lenoy. It's like I have paintings on the wall. So if you have paintings on the wall that you never handle, that's one thing. But if you have candlesticks, that it beautifies the room. It beautifies the room. Let's say people have, I'm sitting in a room with svarim. Happens that these svarim are always used. But let's say a person, balabas, he never opens a sefer. But the svarim alenoi, it beautifies the room. So that's a davish yesh bahishtamsh, it's a davish alenoi. So the ikar hishtamshus is to light candles in it, but it also has a hishtamshus, that it's a beautiful thing, even if you're not lighting candles in it. It beautifies the room. Rabbi Kevegia has on the Shulchan Aruch a discussion. They used the Shabbos before the Chasana, they used to have an oifruf, and the Chasim would say a Dvar Torah, and then the people will give Chasana Matanas on Shabbos. They called it the Drosha Gishank. The Matnas Gishank is a Matana in Yiddish. So the Drosha Gishank was, the Chasim said a nice Dvar Torah, so they would give him a matana on the Shabbos before the Chasana. So they had an Erev in the community, so they were able to give. So it's a shaila of Mekach or Memkar. They're giving a matana. There's a machloikis in the Rishonim, whether Mekach or Memkar is Gzeir the Rabban, Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. So if you're selling real estate, so we understand Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. If I'm selling you metaltlim and we made a kinyan aidei chalipin, but I didn't give you the metaltlim yet. I sold you an automobile and you're going to have to pay after Shabbos. We already know how much the automobile costs. And I make the kinyan chalipin on Shabbos, so the automobile belongs to you. So that's a gzeir shem yichtov. You may write down that the automobile belongs to Ploini because I sold it to him on Shabbos. There's a gzeir shem yichtov. But what if I give you matnas metaltlim? You don't owe anything. If I sell you something on Yontif, Shabbos, Yontif, I give it to you, and you owe me the money, so I may write down that you owe me $100 for the metaltalim that I sold you. But if you don't owe me any money, it's a matana, and it's miyad liyad, so I don't have to, there's no concern, I have to write down how much you owe me, it's a matana. No concern, we have to write down that it's sold, I may forget to deliver it, I gave it already to you. So some Rishonim write that matnas metaltalim miyad liyad, it's neither being paid for, nor does it have to be delivered later, so there's no gzeir shem yichtov. And others disagree. They say, no, you're not allowed to do any matonis at all. That's the Shabbos. You're not allowed to do any matonis at all on Shabbos or Yontif. So Rabbi Kiveger writes that they asked him once, they wanted to give the chasen, I think so, Rabbi Kiveger, maybe on this simon, in the big Shulchan Aruch. So he says they wanted to give a chasna matonis to the chasen on Shabbos, Leichter, that they didn't, obviously they didn't bench licht in the candlestick. If they would have lit candles in it on Erev Shabbos, it was a bus of Dabar Asa, it's Muktzah. But it wasn't Muktzah, it was just the Klisha Malachta Liyisr. It's a Klisha, we assume like Tesis, that it is called the Klisha Malachta Liyisr, because it's Miyuchet to serve as a buses. That's also enough to be called Klisha Malachta Liyisr. So Rabbi Kiveger thinks that maybe this is called a tzorach gufay. Since you're giving it for the purpose of simchas chasam v'kala, even though they're not married yet, it's just the Shabbos of the oifrub. They're going to get married on Tuesday night. Psulan, this is Yom Ravi. Yom Ravi is on a Wednesday. If the girl's getting married for the first time, so the first Mishnah says that you get married on Yom Ravi. So the Nachredim say that if you get married at night, so it should be Tuesday night. Tuesday night belongs to Wednesday, as opposed to Wednesday night belongs to Thursday. So Psulin this Nehemiah should be on a Tuesday night. So even though they're getting married on Tuesday night, but Rabbi Kiveger thinks that this is called B'makim Mitzvah Simchas Chasen. So that maybe that's called Tzorach Legufan. So it's, since it's only a Klisha Malach Deleisa, because it's not Mokzer Mamish, because they didn't light in it, So that way he says that he allowed them. He allowed them to give the matana on Yom Tov. But what's the Gzeiras Mekach HaMemka? Why did he allow that? Also the Makom Mitzvah. Some of the Rishonim say that Mekach HaMemka but Makom Mitzvah is Mutter. They bring the Raif and the Gemara. I think the Ba'ak says, they bring the Raif and the Gemara in the beginning of the second Perek in Beitza. When you make an Erev Tavshilin is when Yom Tov is on Erev Shabbos, and you want to cook on Yom Tov and Shabbos, so you make an Erev Tavshilin. So what if the person forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin? So he's not allowed to cook his food. He's not allowed to have anybody else cook his food either. Hu nesa v'kimcha nesa. He's not allowed to cook his food, and no one else is allowed to cook the food. So he said, can't have any food? So the Gemara says, no. If he's makne kimcha l'acherim, if he gives his raw food to someone else who did make an Erev Tavshilin, then the food belongs to the other person. So then the other person made an Erev Tavshilin. The other person is allowed to cook the food, and then he can give it back to me. So the Rishonim, the Mordechai quotes, the Rishonim raised the question, how can it be makne kimcha l'acherim? What happened to the Gzeiras Mekach HaMemka? So some say, no, there's no Gzeiras Mekach HaMemka on matnas metaltalim miyad liyad. Since he's not paying any money for it, I'm giving it to him in matana. I want to give it to him in matana because I can't cook the food and no one else can cook it for me either. So if I won't be makne kimcha l'acherim, no one's going to be allowed to cook the food. Hu nesa v'kimcha nesa. So some say there's no gzeiras mekach memka by giving a matana because matnas metaltlim yad liyad, they never made a gzeira. The Miri has like that. Reb Shlomo Levilna has a tshuva about this. He shows from the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Beitza, it says when you go visit by someone, you eat by somebody on Yom Tov, so the minig used to be you give them a matana, you bring them a baka chocolates. Even though the chocolates are milchig and they're serving fleishigs today, but later on in the day, they'll be able to eat it. They don't have to eat it today, as long as theoretically they could have used it today. The Gemara says you're allowed to give a pair of tefillin as a matana on Yom Tov. So the Maharam Lublin on the bottom of the Marsha says, but we don't wear tefillin. Shabbos Yom Tov, Lav's Man Tefillin. So he says, Lav's Man Tefillin means you don't have to if you don't want to. But if you want to, Mi'ikar Adin, it's permissible to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Zohar says you're not allowed to. The Zohar says if you wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's a bizoyin. The Shabbos and Yom Tov and the Chalamoid is if it's not a nois. Shabbos and Yom Tov are a nois. Shartam lois al yadecha, yotzu Shabbos as yavim tevim shehin guf anois. Shabbos and Yom Tov is a nois. So you don't need the ois of tefillin. You don't need it, but it's not an avera. So the Bavli seems to all be fairish. There's no iser. If the person wants to wear tefillin, the Zohar holds that it's an isa, it's a bizayon to Shabbos. Yeah, so that's a shaila. How can he be makna kimcha l'achem? What happened to the gzeiras mekach hamemka? So the Meiri says, and Reb Shlomo Levilna has a whole arichas, matnas metaltlim miyad liyad, they never made a gzeira at all. And the Bahag holds not so. The Bahag holds no, it's muta because it's a mokka mitzvah, because he wants to have the food cooked. And he brings the raya from the fact that in the days of the Gemara, not everybody had their own dalaminim. One person had the dalaminim he would give. When Rabbi Akiva was on the boat in the Mediterranean, they were shuttling back and forth between Rome and Eretz Yisrael. They had to speak to the government officials there, to the Goyish government. So Rabbi Gamliel was wealthy. He was a chief rabbi, so they gave him a big salary. So he spent a fortune of money to buy the dalaminim, even though they were on the boat. And then he gave it a matana manas lahachzir to Rabbi Lozim Azari, to Rabbi Akiva, to all the other Tanaim, Rabbi Yeshua, all the other Tanaim who were there on the boat with him. So you see that you're permitted to give a matana manas lahachzir to Maka Mitzvah. But Maka Mitzvah we allow. They don't say that matan's been taltalim miyad liyad, they never were goyser. They hold, the Bahag hold, seems to hold, that even matan's been taltalim, there is an iser, gzeir shem yichto. But for Maka Mitzvah, they say it's mutam. That was the famous Maisa with the Ramah. There was a Yesaima was engaged to get married. And years ago, they used to have in Europe, the weddings used to be on Friday afternoon because once a week they serve fleishiks. They couldn't afford fleishiks more than once a week. And the Anim couldn't afford the fleishiks even once a week. So they used to have the Sudas Chasana was the Friday night meal and they invited Anim to come to the Sudas Chasana. So that was on Friday night. So they were negotiating on Erev Shabbos before they had the chuppah. They were negotiating how much nadan they're going to give the chassan. And the chassan didn't agree to marry the yisayma unless the family agreed to give more of an adan. And it was getting late. It was already after the Shkia. So the Shaila was whether you can shtel a chuppah. You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos. It was also koine kinyan, just like a Mecca Chamemcha. So gzeirah shem yichtov. So to get married is a gzeirah shem yichtov. He may forget and write the ksuba. Yeah, they already wrote the ksuba before. But he didn't agree to marry her unless they're going to give him more nadan. And the Ramo was afraid that if they'll wait till after Shabbos to work out all the negotiations, the boy may back out from the Hoshidach. So the Yisayim will be left without a chosen. So he shtel the chuppah, and he said it was Bein Hashmashes. He writes in Shulchan Aruch, he allowed it because it's Bein Hashmashes. He called Davish and Mishum Shvus Legozola Bein Hashmashes. Since it's only a Gzeira de Rabbanon, and it's only Bein Hashmashes, and it's a Makam Mitzvah, Makam Tzara Godel, Big Shas Atchak. So called Davish and Mishum Shvus Legozola Bein Hashmashes. Many of the people who were there said it wasn't Bein Hashmashes. It was deep into the night. It was way after Tzeisa Kerhot. The Rama didn't want everybody to realize how dark it was outside. So he said, it's only Bein Hashmashes anyway, so he was matir. But it was really late at night. So why was he matir? So it's basically, as a tshuva, the tshuva is the Rama. Matir because the Rabbi Natam learns pshat and the Tesis in the end, this Mishnah that you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos Yantav is in Beitza, Lamed Vav, Lamed Beis, I think. Lamed Vav, Lamed Beis, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Beis, somewhere over there. So the Rabbi Natam learns there in the Gemara, that if the chosn who's getting married is Elo Isha Banim, if he was already married before, he already fulfilled the mitzvah of Pirei Berivya, and he has another wife, and this is the Zibah, this is his second wife, so then it's not a Malka mitzvah. He doesn't need this wife. He already fulfilled Pirei Berivya, and he has a first wife. But if he never fulfilled Pirei Berivya, then it's a Malka mitzvah, so then the Rabbein Tam learns that it's mutter. So usually we don't follow the Rabbein Tam, but when you have a big Shas HaTchag, then we say, if you're dealing with a din de rabban, so we say, G'day haraplani, this mechala b'shas hatchak. Sveika de rabban l'kula, really strictly speaking, only applies when it's a 50-50 sofit. When you have a machlekes harishayim, whether something is us or a mutter, so then sometimes you say, the whole issue is only the rabban, so sveika de rabban l'kula. But here, all the rishayim disagree with the rabbein atam. But it's considered a sofit kolduhu. It is still a sveika de din, a little bit of sofit kolduhu. So that's why the Gemara has a klal in rare cases when there's going to be a big hefsid. They say, Kedai Harab Pleini, Kedai Harab Shimon, this Mechala Mishas HaKak. The Gemara has it in different places. And the Shach writes in Yeridea, the Shach has a Machlekes with the Taz. So the Taz holds that this klal, Kedai Harab Pleini, this Mechala Mishas HaKak, even applies to Dinim Deraisa. So that we don't hold like that. How can it be? On a Din Deraisa, if you have a real Sufik 50-50, you say Sufik Deraisa L'chumra. On a Sufik, on a Din de Rabbanan, where you, if it would have been a 50-50 Sufik, you would have been able to say Sveika de Rabbanan Lekula. So even if it's not 50-50, it's the Rabbeinu Tam against everybody else. So we say, at least it's a Sufik Koldahu. And if it's a big Shas HaTchak, then you have a right to say Sveika de Rabbanan Lekula with a stretch, even though it's not a Sufik Ashokul. It's not nowhere near 50-50. It's a Sufik Koldahu, also you have a right. But how can you say on a Din de Raisa, Kedar aplenu this mochala b'shas hatchag. Roy v'achrayim say b'feirish. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes on these gemaras the beginning of brachas. The gemara has kedar rabbi gamliel this mochala b'shas hatchag, and the gemara has in other places in the beginning of nida you have like that. Kedar this mochala b'shas hatchag. Yeah. So again over here. So if you have the light that you lit in. So everything is buses. Everything is a buses. And even though the flame went out and it's no longer a buses now, it remains mukta throughout the rest of the day. And it's mukta mamish. It's not just an isa tiltil kem, it's mukta mamish. And that's why we neither have the heter of tzorch guf or tzorch mekaymei, that's siv base, nor do we have the heter of kikaratina. That's in siv gimel. Kikaratinek. He says, "Ain lis machala b'shun." There is such an opinion. Yesh misha imer. Yesh misha mata l'taltalai de lechem. Ain lis machala b'shun. We like because kikre tinik is only by klisha malach talisa. It doesn't apply to mukta mamish. Yeah. Why does the din depend on bein hashmashes? It depends both lehokal and lehachmer. The Gemara Masechah Shabbos says, "Let's say I have an old suit That's all worn out. If I would be wealthy, if I'd be a wealthy man, I would throw it out in the garbage. I would be embarrassed to donate it to the poor people in Eretz Yisrael. I would throw it in the garbage. But I can't afford. So then in the middle of Shabbos, I find out that I just won the Irish sweepstakes and I just became a multimillionaire. So I take all the old shmatava suits and I throw them out in the garbage in the middle of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Ela me'ato, you mean to say Zorak glima, Zorak glima la'ashpa. He throws his bigodim into the garbage on Shabbos. Achanami, that it becomes mukta. No. Why doesn't it become mukta? Because since Ben Ashmash is, it was not mukta, cannot become mukta in the middle of Shabbos. Is there such a din that whatever was not mukta in the beginning of Shabbos cannot become mukta in the middle of Shabbos? That's not true. Let's say I have a bottle, I have a glass bottle, and it smashes in the middle of Shabbos to tiny little pieces. It becomes mukta. It's a junk. It does become mukta. Or let's say you have chicken on the chicken bone. You ate up all the chicken. You left with the chicken bone. So that's a machlekes Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. According to Reb Yudah, becomes mukta in the middle of Shabbos. It was Michael Lordim Shenishtan Elias Michael Behemoth. That's called Noilot Shena Gomel. We'll have to discuss it more as we learn more about mukta. So it does become mukta in the middle of Shabbos. The answer is because it changed. The bottle, Ben Ashmashes, was a Dovish Yesh Boishtamshes. And now it's a Dovish Yesh Boishtamshes. So now it became mukta. Or the chicken originally was Michael Lodim. And now I ate up all the chicken, is only left with the bone. Michael Lodim, Shenishtan Elias, Michael Behemoth. So if you don't hold that, that becomes mukta in the middle of Shabbos. But over here, it's the same suit as it was on Erev Shabbos. But on Erev Shabbos, I couldn't afford another suit. So I was still going with the sheet that this is a beged. Then on Shabbos, I realized I just became a multimillionaire. So I throw it in the garbage. But it's the exact same suit. Nothing changed. So then there's a din, just like there's a din, Migidus Katsoyla Ben Ashmashes, whatever, there's another din, whatever was not Mukta Ben Ashmashes cannot become Mukta in the middle of Shabbos. Cannot become Mukta. Some people misunderstand the rule. Mishnah Berurah here in Reish Ayin Tes quotes, it's a Gemara, a Mukta L'chatzi Shabbos. That's not what it means. A Mukta L'chatzi Shabbos means a different thing. And Shulchan Aruch quotes what it means. Let's say, there's a chayla sheyesh bo sakana. Here's sifhei. There's a chayla reishayin tes sifhei. There's a chayla sheyesh bo sakana. So you have to light a candle in the middle of Shabbos. So when the candle is pikuach nevesh dech hakol ha-tarkulam. So you lit a candle in the middle of Shabbos. Beheta, fine. So kozman the candle is burning. It's bosses dover ha-asam. After the candle goes out, it's no longer a bosses. So do you say migad is katsoy? Here it became mukta, let's say 2 o'clock in the middle of the night, we had a lighter candle. So do you say Migadis Katsoi from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock, 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning? The candle is burning for 6 hours, then it goes out. So is there a din Migadis Katsoi and Miksats Mena Shabbos is Katsoi the Shar HaShabbos, or is it only Ben Ashmashes? So the Gemara comes to Maskana, no, ain mukta l'chatzi Shabbos. You only say Migdus Katsoi. If it was mukta ben ashmashes, then it remains mukta throughout, even though the sibas ha-mukta, the sibas ha-haktsoi went away, the flame went out. But if it was Migdus Katsoi la-emtza ha-shabbos, you don't say Migdus Katsoi between 2 in the morning till 8 in the morning, is Katsoi even after it goes out. That's what it means. That's the line. Ain mukta l'chatzi Shabbos. But yes, yeah, so the Shai, why is there such a din? Why does it depend on Ben Ashmashes? So we'll have to, Belinei, we'll have to continue. This is a famous machlekes, Sachat Shava Rebbe with the Chechen of a Rebbe. We must have discussed it, but Belinei, we'll have to talk about it again. Wanted to say just a little bit on Parsha Shmini. At the end of Parsha Shmini, you have the dinim of Kashrus. So the Torah says the simonim by Behema to determine whether any given Behema is a min tohar, a min tamei, you have to have malager mafis parsa. So the chazir, it says in the Chumash chazir, is mafis parsa, but it's not malagera, it only has one simitar, it doesn't have both. So it's also bachilam. It's also bachilam. So there's a famous medrash on that pasuk, lama nikashmo chazir, sha'asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachazir al Yisrael. In the future, the day will come that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us to eat chazir. So in the days of the Rishonim, they wrote a lot about this. How can it be? Asar Kadosh Baruch Hu Chazir LeYisrael. The Rambam has 13 Ikari HaEmuna, and one of them, one of the rules is Shazas HaTorah Lo Sehim Ochlefes. that the laws of the Torah are binding throughout all of future generations. That's exactly the difference between a nevuah and a din in the Torah. A nevuah, by definition, means a hayru ashur. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, hayru ashur, he said, no one's allowed to leave over a month till the morning. Everyone should knock on the next door neighbor's doors before he tears Mitzrayim. Ask for matonis. There were a lot of dinim that were hayru ashur. So whoever would violate what Moshe Rabbeinu said, lo hayru ashur, is zoyval diri novi chai misa b'dei shamayim. But all the other dinim that Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Taryag mitzvahs that he said, that are binding l'doris, so that's what the Minchas Chinuch says. He asked the Kasha, there's a very short list of Elu Shev Misa, which Averis are Yechai Misa B'dei Shemayim for. If he eat Tevel, Azari, eat Truma, a couple of things, it's not such a long list. It's around 10 things, less than 10 things is Misa B'dei Shemayim. So the Minchas Chinuch has a Kasha, anytime a person talks Lashon Hara, a person misses Man Kriyashma. He violated what Moshe Rabbeinu said should be Oyval Diri Navi. Whoever violates any Aver in the Torah is Oyval Diri Navi, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. Because he was the greatest Navi, Bishvil Shani Zoche, Hipsadati, because he was the greatest Navi of all. So that's why there's no Misa B'dei Shemayim on what he and what he said. So this is the Minchas Chinuch Kash. So the different Terutzim were suggested to answer the Kasha. Rav Soloveitchik said in the 1930s, when he started giving Shiurim in America, he said a teretz, and now that's the accepted teretz. That's what everybody says now. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, but Torah, that's not called Oivra Divrei Navi. Oivra Divrei Navi means only if it's a Hira Shah, only a temporary din. That's called Oivra Divrei Navi. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon Hanavim, and whatever he said, L'Doiras, is binding L'Doiras. That's Oivra Divrei Torah. That's not Oivra Divrei Navi. So about the Torah, there are rules and regulation. When you have Malkus, when you have Misa, when you have Kores, and once in a while you have Misa B'dei Shemayim. But all the dinim that I said are not called Oval Divrei Navi. Oval Divrei Navi means Oval Isa B'Torah Nevuah. But this is B'Torah Torah, not B'Torah Nevuah. So that's a shala. How can it be? Osar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir L'Yisrael. Macholos HaSuros is from the Taryag Mitzvos HaTorah. That's binding L'Doris. How can it be that Lossi Love is going to be moved? So some say the nature of the Chazir is going to change. It's going to be Malagir and Mafis Paris. It's going to be both. So there's a big discussion of this in the Sefer, in the Hakdamah to the Sefer, Minchas Kinoos. Minchas Kinoos is a collection of the whole correspondence between the Rashba and the Rosh and the Meiri and about the Cherem against studying the Mar Nebuchim. They were very upset that people were studying more in the Ruchim and they got into Greek philosophy and they were taking things in the Chumash as not literally. They said Avram Yitzchak Yankov are concepts, they weren't real people, and the mitzvahs just represent ideas and you don't have to observe the mitzvahs. So they were very upset about that. So that's why they made a cherem against reading the more in the Ruchim. So this Sefer, Minchas Knos, is written by one of the Balei HaTosfos who collected all of the tshuvas, and he put them all together. So in the Hakdami, he talks about this issue. He says it doesn't mean eating chazir. He says chazir represents Esav, represents the Christian church, because the Medrash says the chazir sticks out his hoofs, and he says, you see, I'm kosher, because he has split hoofs. He doesn't let you see that he's not malagir. He's Mafis Parsa, so he makes believe that there's a Judeo-Christian tradition, as if there are two twin religions, and they have so much in common. They don't have anything in common. The Rambam has a mashal. The Rambam says sometimes you go to a museum where they have statues made from wax, and it looks mamish just like a human being. So if you have a human being standing next to the statue, they made a wax statue of him. He's standing next to the statue. You can't tell the difference between the real person. The real person, his blood is circulating. His body is warm. He has a warm body temperature of 98 degrees, whatever. And the statue doesn't have that temperature. The human being is going to blink his eyes. He's going to be breathing. The statue isn't breathing. If you look carefully, you see there are no two twin religions. One is an Avodah Zarah. One is a statue, and one is a real religion. One is a living religion. Judaism is a living religion, and Christianity is dead. There's nothing there. It's like a statue, like the wax statue in the wax museum. So that's what the Gemara has in Maseches Tainis. When there's certain problems, certain magefas, so the Beznas goes to Tainis. So the Gemara has, when there's an epidemic among the Chazerim, so the Jews have to be goes to Tainis because the stomach of the Jewish people is similar to the stomach of the Chazerim. So the sickness may be transmitted from the Chazerim to the humans. So Tosfos says it doesn't mean Chazerim pigs. It means Christians. The Gemara refers to the Christians as Chazer because the Christians stick out their hoofs and they claim that they're kosher. They claim that the Jewish religion and the Christian religion, there's a Judeo-Christian tradition, and they're twin religions, and they're not twins at all, like Yaakov and Esav. They were not twins. Yaakov Ish Cholak and Esav is Ish Sayer. They were totally different. So that's what the Rishon who wrote this Sefer put together, the old Sefer, Minchas Knos. He said, Lama Nikra Shmo Chazir is referring to the fact that the Christians are ruling the whole world. They're controlling Malchus over the whole world. Why is it called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazir Yisrael, Limos HaMashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give over the government to the Jewish people. That's what I mean. But it doesn't mean it's going to give us the right to eat Chazir. Chazir is from the mitzvahs, from the Taryag mitzvahs, and the Dina HaTorah binding throughout all the future generations. The mitzvahs of the Chazir is not going to change, and the Dina is not going to change. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazir Yisrael means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to restore the Malchus to the Melech HaMashiach, and the Malchus Beit David, he'll rule over the whole world. That's what it says in Tanakh. Okay, so Belineta, next week we'll start from the Machloikas, the Avnenezer, Sachat Shavu Rebbe, and the Chechen Avu Rebbe. I'm sure we spoke about it before. We'll talk about it again.
Rabbi Schechter, we just celebrated Pesach, and we had 3 days of Yontif. How do you throw out the garbage if it's Muksa Mamash?
It is a big a problem. You have to move it out from the apartment because it's a Gerev Shel Reid, but you should leave it in the hallway. Leave it somewhere without taking it further. Gerev Shel Reid is there to move it to the extent that you remove it from where you are. But once you move it into the hallway, Shine, so leave it in the hallway.
Your neighbors will be very appreciative.
Oh, you mean you live in the... You live in an apartment
building. I don't live in an apartment building, but I could assume that those that do, your neighbors are not going to like that.
So you have to leave it in a corner in the kitchen, in your own kitchen. Okay.
3 days of garbage.
You can't move it to Lachiyad with your foot, let's say.
If you can do that, is good. That's a stunt. Okay. You have to be a Balkishan to be able to do that without doing that. Good.
Incidentally, Rabbi Schechter, on Zov Zachaya, Shir Tochelu, the Sforno says that if it were not for the Chet Ego, there would be no Isur Macholos Asuros.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, it could be that Yemos HaMashiach will recover from the Chet Ego and you'll be able to eat Chazer.
Oh boy. Okay. The Sforno adds that.
Sforno says there'll be no Dini Nida, Yoledes, Zova, Macholos Asuros. It's only because of the Chet Ego.
I don't know, but that's against this principle in the Rambam, I think. We don't accept that, Svarno. The Rambam has Yud Gimel Ikori Hamun, and I think they were all accepted. The laws of the Torah are binding. Unless it was only intended, but the Rambam counts Macholos Asuras and Zova Nida as part of the Taryag Mitzvah, so we assume those are binding Lo'elom Vod.
Okay. Rabbi?
Yes.
You said that coins are muktzamach mezgufa.
I think so.
I was wondering whether bisman hazeh in the United States, for example, coins are engineered so that they can operate coin-operated machinery, and the coin-operated machinery, the dispensing machinery, is engineered so that it recognizes proper. Uh-huh. And rejects improper coins.
Uh-huh.
So prayer is like it's like a screwdriver. It is designed to operate that machinery. It should be a klishim lachtul iso because of mekuch memkar.
That could well be. That is an interesting idea. Okay. All the coins are like that. They're just quarters you use in a laundromat.
Yes, absolutely.
Pennies also are sometimes used to operate the machine. Yeah.
The slug and it'll be rejected.
That's a very good point. I think that's a very good idea. Okay. Paper money also? Yeah, sometimes paper money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get the, put in a dollar, you get a basket of them. Okay. Could well be. Good.
Yeah. Rav Shechter, why couldn't the man fall on Yontif? We're allowed to carry on Yontif. Somebody could carry the man home. We're allowed to prepare food on Yontif. Somebody could bake the man or cook the man or whatever they do with the man to prepare it. So why did it have to fall double the day before?
So according to Rashi, that muktza la'achila is a real din deraisa. So that's the mukkah for that din muktza ve'chinu. All the food that you want to eat on Yontif has to have achanim ibod yom. And if the man is going to fall on Shabbos and Yontif, it's going to lack achanim. See, if you all like Rashi, is good. All the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They hold that even muktza la'achila is only midirabban. So why didn't the man fall down on Shabbos? I don't know. That's a good question. Everything should be mutter because of Echol Nefesh. I don't know. If you all like Rashi, it's good. That would be Mukta Mamish. That's Noilad Gomer. But if you don't hold like Rashi, that's a good question. I don't know. We should look it up. Very good question. Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Good. So we'll meet you next week, Belina.
Thank you.
Thank you.